natural resources and that budget deficit. BC's recent quarterly budget update reported an increased deficit, mainly due to lower natural gas royalties, lower personal income tax, and higher spending for wildfire response. With respect to the natural gas royalties, the BC government is relying on royalties from an abundant natural resource, where a growing number of BC municipalities are snubbing natural gas for their new green construction projects. As the demand for natural gas decreases in our province, natural gas revenues will continue to retreat and our future budget deficits will only increase. But wait, Asia and Germany were recently asking our Canadian energy sector to help with supplementing their energy needs, and the federal Liberal government suggested we have nothing to offer. Another example of the so-called center of Canada wanting to punish and discipline Alberta, BC and Saskatchewan for trying to get our natural resources to the world markets. When we take a reality check, we should realize that wind and solar power generation has reliability issues as well as technological challenges to meet energy storage from these sources. Unlike BC with an abundance of hydropower, Alberta and Saskatchewan may have to resort to small nuclear plants to meet the impending CO2 targets. Building these nuclear projects would be far more affordable if these provinces could use the revenue created by getting their natural resources to world markets. No wonder Alberta talks about a sovereignty act, and Ottawa hates the idea of Western provinces showing they can be independent. Steve Hertling. Qualicum Beach. Finishing touch needed on Ship Point idea. Oslo's Opera House could be an inspiration. Letter, October 3. Architect Terry Williams knows of what he speaks and has the portfolio to prove it. If only he had imagined a bike trail on top, we might see fruition. Warren Carey. Esquimalt. Try a maritime museum at Ship Point. Oslo's Opera House could be an inspiration. Letter, October 3. There are alternatives, of course, to the concept of an impressive arts and culture building on Ship Point as suggested by architect Terrence Williams. There are some impressive, and relatively low-rise waterfront buildings in countries such as Denmark, India, and Brazil that house maritime museums. Ken Lane. Sonich. Targets and affordable home ownership. The recent announcement of housing targets in 10 municipalities is a good start to addressing the housing crisis. More supply with relatively steady demand reduces housing prices, but government's focus needs to be readjusted. In recent years, the province has announced plenty of funding for below-market rentals, without sufficient consideration for affordable homeownership. Affordable rental units are an important part of the housing continuum and needed, but missing is the opportunity for young families to own a home. Affordable homeownership puts money into working families' pockets and allows for wealth creation through growing equity. Additionally, homeowners have more security of tenure versus rental, and creating more homeowners frees up more rental units. At Habitat for Humanity Victoria, our nonprofit homeownership charity is ready to accelerate our efforts in helping working families buy affordable homes. The government must not ignore this vital part of the housing solution. We encourage the province and municipalities to work with us to include affordable homeownership in their targets. Scott Dutchick, Chief Executive Officer, Habitat for Humanity Victoria. HabitatVictoria.com. Revised Missing Middle Misses the Point. Victoria Council's bold amendments move us further away from the original objectives of affordability, inclusivity, and neighborhood best practices. The most obvious reason for lack of developer uptake is that there is not enough profit. Why would a developer choose to build a missing middle complex with limited height, setbacks and site coverage and sell units at affordable rates when they can simply apply for a zoning variation and get council approval for a high-rise market-priced, multi-unit development with fewer restrictions and higher profit levels? As long as council keeps approving these, there is no incentive to build affordable housing at lower profit. Council's most recent concessions are disturbing. Increasing the maximum height adds to problems of already too high developments that are inappropriate and harmful for residential neighborhoods. They also block sunlight, which is not only essential for all living organisms but, as a recent writer pointed out, conflicts with environmental initiatives like solar panels. Minimizing setbacks and maximizing site coverage means the loss of more urban trees and green space. Trees and green space are essential to our well-being, but they also contribute to community well-being. People use their green space, get to know neighbors and develop a sense of community in these open spaces. Houseplexes without these are also not suitable for family housing. Also, the Missing Middle Initiative, either in its original or new and improved version, does nothing to create affordable housing or inclusivity. The view that any additional housing will eventually trickle down to create affordable housing for those at the bottom is naive, misguided, and not evidence-based. Finally, the process by which these changes have been introduced and speedily approved is disturbing. These changes are substantive and impact the quality of life of residents. Yet the public has been denied any consultation or input, a dangerous and increasing trend with this council. Marianne Burka, Victoria. Letters of opposition ignored by council. There was an issue with a project at 956 Haywood Avenue in Victoria. 52 letters were sent opposing and questioning this project. Mayor and council dealt with this issue on Thursday evening in 2 minutes, agreeing to the developers' requests for variances. No public letters were mentioned, not a single word. An email to mayor and council came back with this statement. Thank you for taking the time to write. We hope you will continue to stay engaged on city matters in the future. John Vandenhovel, Victoria. Don't doubt the value of nurse practitioners. Physician assistants could soon be licensed to work in BC, September 28. Be wary of doctors advocating for physician assistants, but not nurse practitioners. Dr. Jeff Unger at Saanich Peninsula Hospital says physician assistants are more cost-effective than other staffing alternatives such as nurse practitioners. Who wouldn't want a personal assistant to perform secondary tasks under their constant direction? But the point is that nurse practitioners have, within their scope of practice, the autonomy to diagnose and treat many conditions, adding greatly to the capacity to move patients through the care continuum. No, they can't perform heart surgery, but NPs can independently stitch lacerations, order blood tests, and prescribe insulin. Even registered nurses have greater scope to work independently compared to physician assistants. We need all healthcare professionals to embrace the team approach, but could it be that some doctors want to cement their authority and privilege at the top of the healthcare hierarchy? Rory McAlpine, Victoria. Batteries get money, the military does not. Volkswagen, Stellantis and Northvolt to receive $33 billion in subsidies for battery production, yet the federal government is looking to cut $1 billion from the defense budget. We have village idiots running, ruining, this country. Sheldon Reeves, Nanaimo. Send us your letters. Email. letters@timescolonist.com. Mail. Letters to the editor, Times Colonist, 201-655 Tyee Road. Victoria, BCV9A6X5. Aim for no more than 250 words, subject to editing for length and clarity. Provide your contact information.